Welcome to Influencer Marketing for Destinations, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network.
Welcome back, everybody, to Influencer Marketing for Destinations. We are so lucky today to have a special guest with us, and so I don't want to spend a ton of time on introductions with our podcast, but let me set the stage for our guest. Guy Cunha is from North Orlando in Florida, and he was first featured on our flagship podcast, the Destination Marketing Podcast. So on this show, which we'll link to in the description for you, you can listen to how he gave some background about his position and his love for tourism and how he got to his position in Seminole County, Florida. So without further ado, Guy, do you want to introduce both your position and a little bit about you for our listeners today?
Thank you, Jacqueline. Thank you, Jacqueline and Jess, for having me. Love doing these podcasts. I'm Guy Cunha. I'm the Chief Administrator for the Office of Economic Development and Tourism for Seminole County Government in Seminole County, Florida, just above Orange County, which is home to the city of Orlando. So we do play off Orlando throughout the entire region. Our brand, of course, Orlando North Seminole County.
That is such a mouthful, but I am so grateful to have you on the show.
No, I appreciate it. I think you guys, the content that you guys are putting out for influencers and also for destinations, the episodes have been absolutely fantastic. The last couple on the niche markets and establishing your niche markets. For us, I can tell you, we've relayed those influencers to our content strategy team and said, hey, if there's anything we can partner here, this may be a group that we're looking at. I can definitely tell you that there's great value in everything you guys are doing, from not just the influencer and niche market side, but also the media kits and the vetting. The episodes have been absolutely fantastic and are of great value to us.
Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate hearing that. It's great to hear people give positive feedback for the podcast. So we appreciate you listening. Before we jump in, we have a lot of questions we want to ask you today. But before we jump into those questions, we are going to do our little intro section or segment called hashtag influenced. If you're new to the show, this is where we talk about something that has influenced us to do or buy on social media recently. So Jacqueline, would you like to kick this one off?
I'd love to. So this one is super exciting for me, you guys. So last week, my husband and I celebrated our 6-year anniversary. And we've tried to stick to some of the cheesy traditions of, you know, each year anniversary has a different theme. And the 6-year anniversary is the iron year. So I know my husband's been really dying for an iron cast iron skillet. And so I was like, this is perfect. I'm going to get it. So Amazon, of course, had so many wonderful reviews to help me make my purchase. We ended up getting a Lodge cast iron pan, which had 97 or so thousand reviews. That's a lot of reviews. Nice. So we purchased that one. And then immediately my next thought was, okay, what do I cook in this? And so I've been Pinteresting all over the place, looking at different influencers and chefs and all sorts of things. And I've got my board going. So we made our first recipe. We made a deep dish cast iron pizza last weekend. So that was really fun.
Yum. How did it turn out?
It turned out really good. It was so fun. I mean, definitely not like the deep dish we had in Chicago, but it was definitely the nice home-cooked feel, which was really fun.
That's awesome. Well, thanks for sharing. Let's see, Guy, do you want to go next?
Oh, sure. And again, I fall in line with Jacqueline on this. Prior to the pandemic, cruising was my wife and I's number one passion. So we would always follow the cruise accounts on IG, and we absolutely loved them. And every time we plan about 2 to 3 trips just from cruising. Again, hopefully we could get back to that soon. Food and beverage, another one, always influenced on that. But I'm going to give it a little curveball here. I actually, and it's hilarious because my wife laughs at me when I do this. I actually get influenced on pay-per-view sporting events on Instagram. So let's say when an event initially rolls out, and again, I'm sorry, I'm Brazilian, and what you call mixed martial arts is kind of in our genetics and DNA. Yep. So whenever a fight card is rolled out for us, I always go, not watching this. I'm not paying $70 for this 2 months out. And then as it gets closer and more promos and influencers and the behind the scenes, pretty much the day before, I'm like, all right, tomorrow there is nothing else planned. We have to watch this card. I'm in. And my wife's like, you just said you would rather watch our daughter's Cocomelon episodes on Netflix than this card 2 months ago. And now all of a sudden you're sold and this is the greatest card that we can never miss. So for right now would be the pay-per-view sporting events at this point. They always get me.
That's a unique one. I don't think we've ever heard that on the show so far. So yeah. Thanks for sharing that.
No problem.
I love it.
I'm trying to think of, I live, eat, and breathe social media just because it is a huge part of my job. So I feel like I'm influenced on a daily basis to do or buy something. But most recently this past month, there was a lot of ads for it's a thing called the baby's brew. Anyways, I travel quite a bit with my 10-month-old baby. And obviously, he needs bottles, right, when we travel. And he's very picky and won't drink a cold bottle. And so it's always been a struggle trying to find hot water or places to heat up water if we're out in the backcountry. But this little portable baby bottle warmer has, I kept seeing ads pop up on it for Instagram, and there were some influencers sharing about it. And they totally influenced me to get one too. And it has been a game changer. So that's been my influencer moment in the past month.
I love it. Isn't it amazing how social media can be so customized and influence each of us in such a different way? I mean, we've come with a variety of different things that we've talked about already.
And that's the beauty of it. And this is what I try to explain to my parents and some of my older family members who are new to social media, is that what you're seeing is customized and even personalized for you. Mm-hmm. So that's where it's one of those that I'll get calls every now and again where it's like, hey, didn't you see that ad on your social account? And I was like, well, no, it's targeted differently, you know, geographic, behaviorally. I don't see what you see. So it's kind of fantastic how that whole concept has just changed. I mean, how even 35, 40, you know, 20 years ago, that's a foreign concept at that point of targeting, mass targeting on that, you know, accurate a scale.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Agreed. And that's why companies and business and CVBs and all of those DMOs organizations, they cannot overlook influencer marketing because it is so powerful and personalized and customized to the viewer. So that's why we love talking about influencer marketing. And speaking of that topic, we're kind of segue into all of these questions we have today for you. I feel like you are a wealth of knowledge. So we are excited to hear from you. The first thing we kind of wanted to chat with you today about is, so we've listened to your episode from the Destination Marketing Podcast, but can you share with our listeners about what types of influencers and prominent figures that your specific destination works with?
So for us, we actually have two different components. We have the leisure transient traveler that we target, and we specifically contract with visitors that have one of two things, or outdoor adventure seekers, especially some with water activities in their content, in their media kit, or food and beverage. We have a very strong craft scene. We position ourselves as the authentic side of Orlando, the craft side of Orlando. You know, it's not very corporate for us. At the end of the day, it's the authenticity. It's a true Florida feel right next to Disney and Universal and SeaWorld and all the parks. So you get the best of both worlds when you come to Seminole County. Now, we also have a sports side. Now, the sports side, it's a $33 million sports complexes that we've purchased through tourism dollars. So that's our leisure group travelers. So for the leisure group travelers, we're mainly focused on diamond sports, with the highest yield being in softball. So for us, when we look at influencers, this new name, image, and likeness legislation that was rolled out in the state of Florida and adopted by the NCAA, now all of a sudden it gives us access to these influencers that are student athletes for universities that are in our target market. So sorry about the mouthful, but for us,
that's really good.
For us, we have to customize our influencer strategy because we do have two different components. It's not just destination marketing for a transient or meetings and convention side. We have a sports dynamic that we have to take into effect.
I think that's cool. And you know your market, right? And you know there's two different target market and audiences for you. So I think that's fantastic that you've been able to identify that. And now you've been able to customize your marketing strategy towards those two separate groups. So yeah, that's fantastic.
Two voices. Can't use the same voice for either of them. You know, that's the big key. One is specifically targeting event organizers, parents, and players. And for us to use that voice for a leisure traveler or vice versa won't get us the type of reach or engagement or any of the other indicators that really drive our content strategy.
I love that. And this is not only good for destinations to know, to really understand and be able to really immerse themselves in their persona, know them well enough to pick those influencers, but also for influencers to hear that because they need to understand that destinations are looking for something very specific when we go to pick them. So it's only fitting that you're following our episodes about niches because it is so important for an influencer to know who they are so that the destination can partner successfully with them.
Yeah, I always had a concept from sports. I was a former athlete and coach of high schools, and I've worked at Florida International University in the athletics department. And there was always this concept of, like, for example, for football, where a team says, you know, a team that says they have two good quarterbacks really has none. And that's kind of that same concept we bring in here, where we're saying, if you're trying to target everybody, you're reaching nobody, you know, and that's kind of where you have to rely on the analytics. We have to rely on not only the key performance indicators, but also the qualitative analysis with our event organizers, with our hoteliers that are boots on the ground, that are telling us, okay, take this into account along with the KPIs. And then from that is the entire basis of our content strategy. And then from the content strategy is when we'll whittle that all the way down to the individual influencer, where we're saying, this person's the best value for us, for this message, for this time, for this deal.
Yeah, I love that. And one of the things I think we want to touch on today is with those contracts, I think it's so important to have contracts set up so that each party, both the influencer and the destination, know those goals and know exactly what we're trying to get out of this partnership. So with that robust strategy of knowing exactly what you want and knowing exactly what the influencer's purpose is for the campaign, how do you go about building this contract and this strategy for the partnership?
So for us, it's content driven. It's as much content as possible. So where we'll request, it's always multimedia. So a lot of times our influencers that do get the most bang for the buck provide images, video, and copy for us, especially if the copy is not only in English, but in Spanish or Portuguese or German. Those are usually our top markets. Again, you can use, you know, the Google Translate, you know, API on your website, but it's much more authentic when it's spoken directly and made directly by someone that can speak that foreign tongue. So for us, that's usually the best way. All our influencer contracts have a social media component to it as well. where we'll require a couple of posts leading to our account and vice versa. We also reciprocate and we'll use some of the media to send our 120,000 followers on Instagram over to the influencers as well.
I think that's fantastic. It benefits both sides. And it's a very, like you said, content-driven strategy, which as, right, if an influencer is coming to visit, they should be able to provide a lot of content for their destination. So I don't think it's unreasonable ask in asking those influencers to provide the photos, the videos, and even copy, whether that be for a blog post or whatnot. So I think that's a great strategy that you guys have for your destination. When you develop that partnership with the influencer, do you deal with contracts? Do you make both parties sign a contract that you create?
Yes. Yes. So for us, we won't create the contract because we're a government entity. We need the vendor to have a W-9. We don't have as much freedom. We may at times work through our agency of record, Evoke Advertising. So if they bring us an influencer that they want to work with, then they'll be the middleman and the contract will go through Evoke. But our influencers all are registered to do business in the state of Florida. So they need to be a vendor in the state, and then they'd be a registered vendor with us, and then they would send us an invoice that's both signed. We've never done, I'm trying to think, at least since I've been here, we have not done any influencer project that did not have a contract that had a monetary value. Just because for us, that's the cleanest way. And being that we are a government entity, you know, keeping things as clean and transparent as possible, that always leads to much more trust within our commissioners and our community.
That's really awesome. And influencers, please take note of that, because we've talked about it before, but it's so important to mention again, when you're working with an organization or with a destination, just like Guy said, you're dealing with all of the stakeholders and all of the commissioners and all of the people in the county, not just the one government or agency association that you're working with for the collaboration. So there are a lot more parties to please, so to speak. And that also can make it even more valuable and even more fun as well. But I love that you mentioned that, because it is so true.
So some of the things that we do that's been free, we can say free exposure. If an influencer is just starting out and they say, hey, you know, created this video for Seminole County, and they'll send us a message on Instagram or Facebook or whatever social media saying, hey, here's this video or here this image, you know, feel free to use it on your platform and please tag me upon, you know, posting the image or video. That's something, if it's to the quality and fits our content schedule, or if we have to kick it out for 6 months because that's something we would do in the winter or the summer, then that's something that we have done for free, where we will, you know, make sure our followers are aware of any image or video and the influencer that's created that. We've done that various times in the past.
Yeah, I think that's great. Them giving the content and you giving them that free exposure per se. So yeah, that's another partnership type that you don't necessarily need a contract for in those cases. You mentioned that you do a lot of paid partnerships, but have you ever done partnerships where it's just perhaps a comped stay or free tickets to a game or something in that arena? So I guess my first question is, have you ever done that? And B, when you do that, do you still have a contract even though you're not necessarily paying them?
No. When it's in kind, it can get tricky because anything, mm-hmm. we are government. So anything we do for one, we have to be able to do for all. Mm-hmm. So what we do at that point, the first step would be giving the contact information for the hotels or the restaurants to the influencers. And if the influencer does want to reference us, to the hotel or restaurant or attraction, and the restaurant attraction or hotel gives them that comp stay or comp meal or tickets, then that can be a way to go about it. What we can't do is reach out to a hotel and say, hey, can we have free room nights for this influencer? Because now we have to answer the question, why that hotel? Why not the one next door?
That's a great point. Yep.
From a government standpoint, it's a lot tougher. So that would kind of be the strategy. And we sparingly, during my 5 years here, have we done that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very cool. Well, thanks for sharing. I think that's really good insight for destinations and then influencers too that perhaps want to work with a government agency like this. Just understand that they do have certain restrictions that maybe some other destinations don't have. So just to be aware of those when working for these different destinations, especially government entities.
Yeah, and that's what I said. When you establish contact as an influencer, one, personalize the message. We get a ton of messages on our social media. When it's personalized, I can tell you the vast majority of times it will be read. When it's just copy and paste and hello, I can tell you a lot of times that's not read. If you send an email to any of our team members, speaking not just of your background as an influencer, but discussing how awesome your media kit is, please include the media kit on the email. It's a lot easier for us to vet and see where you can fit into the content strategy if we already have the content in the email instead of having to reply saying, hey, we're interested, can we have the media kit? That usually changes as well. And not just for us, this is for the vast majority of destinations.
That's a great tip. Thanks for including that. So definitely influencers, take note of that. Destinations love to see your media kit.
Yep. I can't agree more. It's so nice to have everything in that first email so that we can, streamline the process. I think a lot of times for destinations or even for agencies on my side, it just takes so long to build the itinerary and to draft, the type of content you want and to build the content strategy, like Guy has been saying, for the partnership, that you don't need to spend more time just responding back and forth for that simple paperwork.
And we are watching. I'm just looking at my phone now because I want to bring up, I just called this influencer yesterday where literally on Instagram saw what SportsCenter posted for ESPN on edits made by @SnatchAndSnacks. And they were absolutely fantastic edits. And I literally went on @SnatchAndSnacks, clicked on his website that's located in North Carolina and gave him a call yesterday and said, hey, if we send over some B-roll from the sports side, love your work, love the way you're making this edit. Is this something you'd be interested in working with us on a frequency, maybe once every 2 months or once a quarter, something along those lines. And that's how the conversation started. And we're currently trying to negotiate and see where it all fits at this point. But I can tell you, every destination, if it's not the administrator, there are individuals that are always on social media. And when your content is tagged, when it's clean, when it's shared, and your profile, it doesn't have to be squeaky clean, but there's no red flags for us being government. Red flags would be, gambling, anything that can, be content that we can look at, not only as distasteful, but something that a government agency cannot be distributing. That is, that's kind of the strategy where I can tell you our team, we proactively reach out to influencers pretty much at the same frequency as influencers reach out to us.
That's amazing. I think that's so important, and it really is. It's social listening at its best, and it really goes in both directions as well. I know, Guy, we have one last question for you before we kind of wrap up here. We've had so much information jam-packed into this episode, and so I'm really excited for our listeners. But do you have any last tips for destinations specifically who are, you know, starting this contracting or influencer journey and how they can go about making this a little bit smoother of a process for them?
Yeah, I can tell you one thing is if you use the data to drive the verification of the contract or the reasoning behind your contract from a government agency, that's where we receive the most support from county leadership, county manager, deputy county manager, and our commissioners. So because there's usually not the strongest understanding of what is influencer marketing, it's still nuanced when we're speaking at that level or to a board. That can all be, you know, a lot of times it becomes ambiguous and oh, this member thinks you want to sign this influencer because you like them. Remove subjectivity, bring it to the research, bring it to the KPIs, keep it objective. We've had great success working with influencers. I can tell you that our social media platform, our whole social network, wouldn't be where it is today if it wasn't for the influencers that we work with. I can tell you, probably wouldn't have done the podcast if it wasn't for, you know, the sports influencers that we're working with right now. So there is a ton of reach. Influencers on the other side provide value. Communicate, communicate, communicate. Don't take 3 days to answer an email. Answer your cell phones. Those things go a very long way whenever working with any destination.
That is fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing that. I think that's valuable tips for both the destination and the influencer that you just shared with us. Honestly, the whole episode has been, like Jacqueline said, jam-packed with amazing and valuable content. We so appreciate your time for coming on the podcast and sharing with us about your destination and what they do for partnerships and contracts. So thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Jess and Jacqueline. This is absolutely amazing. I love, love, love all the work that you're doing. We actually share the episodes, not only with our team, but also with the influencers. Whenever there's younger influencers that come to us, we always make sure to reference like, hey, media kit, go to that episode. All right. Vetting, see what people are looking at your profile. Know who you're speaking to at all times. Guys, you're absolutely fantastic. It's been an absolute pleasure of mine to be on the podcast today.
Thanks, Guy. I'm so glad that, you know, something is getting out there. This is exactly what we want to hear, you guys. We want to help everyone, both destinations and influencers, to create good partnerships together. So like Guy said, social media is a huge part of sharing the words. So if you aren't already, please follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Pinterest to hear more and to stay up to date with our episodes. And we will see you next time. Thanks for listening. This has been another episode of Influencer Marketing for Destinations, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Jess and Jacqueline and produced by Relic.